Michael Jordan's sister accuses father of rape. News 1. Dolores Jordan.
Michael Jordan's father, James Jordan, and I know you're probably in trouble here, so let me let you get yourself off the hook right now.
Yes, Ahmad, I really appreciate the fact that I can take this opportunity to wish my beautiful wife a happy Mother's Day along with my beautiful daughter-in-law and, believe it or not, my daughter.
This old nasty Michael Jordan, he knew his father was raping his sister. Michael Jordan needs to set up a center for pedophile and sex abuse. You know your father's raping your sister. And by the way, Michael Jordan, your mama's sorry to let your dad rape her daughter.
Oh my gosh, wait. What did you just say? Michael Jordan's dad did what?
Michael Jordan, your mama's sorry to let your dad rape her daughter and then dog the daughter who couldn't handle it anymore.
Wow. Is there that online somewhere that Michael Jordan's dad raped his daughter? Or is that something
It's out there. If it's not out there, I said it. Let him sue me. I can get some money off him. Let's go to court. His sister will join me hand in hand. The world is small. The world
is very
small. We're
talking about Michael Jordan. Jordan.
I'm talking about the bald-headed one that succumbed. Let your sister use silent. You got that kind of pain in your family. There's a lot of garbage in our communities. And these people have the money and the means to do something. And all they want to do is keep everything quiet. Like the AIDS crisis in Atlanta and in Miami. A little bald-headed, chump-ass John Lewis. These people run around talking about how voting rights. If we all get AIDS, who's going to be alive to vote, dumbass John Lewis?
Okay, guys, I want to just take a quick pause for the cause because I need to give you a point of reference. If you'd like to find out more about what Dr. Short was talking about, please visit news1.com. The title of the article is Michael Jordan's Sister Accuses Father of Rape. And this is per Dolores Jordan's book titled In My Family's Shadow. I'm going to read you just real quick a few lines from the actual article. Ending 8 years after it first began and 5 years after losing my virginity to my father, it scares me to think how much longer the abuse would have went on had I not spit out the dreadful truth to my mother during one of our many heated disagreements. Disagreements that were sometimes anything but pleasant and often featured no indication of love between the two of us. So, as she ranted and raved about how no slutty daughter of hers better get pregnant and bring any bastard children into her house, I finally heard myself saying, "Well, if I am so much of a slut, then why don't you keep your husband out of my bed?" So again, you can find that article on news1.com. And also, guys, I need to mention this. We're in the hour of Oprah Winfrey versus 50 Cent and Russell Simmons. And I'm not trying to be a black woman who brings a black man down. I am just here to inform you that our shows are not scripted. So whenever there's an opportunity for me to give you a reference point because of something that one of our guests said, then I'm going to take the time to do that. And such is this case, okay? All right, so let's get back to the show. And after the show, I'll see you guys down in the comment section.
Michael Jordan has just been so cruel to his sister. I mean, why does she have to take one for the team? We should call for a boycott of his shoes until he helps his sister out. When are we going to get tired of this? Yeah, I keep talking about John Lewis. Yes, John Lewis, he needs to sit down. Get your chump ass out of office. I don't care about what they did in the 60s based on what they're doing today. You know, you get what I'm saying? You know what? If someone brought you a Tampax from 1960, you wouldn't use it because it's old, right? You'd say, well, I appreciate it, but I'm not going to use it, right, because it's old. And that's how I feel about some of these so-called black leaders.
What was the name of the pastor? Because that's who I thought you were just talking about. Remember we talked about a pastor in North Carolina?
Oh, you mean the
Carolina?
Big, yeah, Reverend William Barber, Bishop Mantitty.
Oh, that's not the
that's
guy.
That's the caller.
Okay, that's not the guy you were talking about.
He's morbidly overweight. Yeah. And now, he says a lot of stuff about poor people, which I agree with, but you know what he does? You got to get down with the sodomite agenda in order to deal with poverty. That's like saying, I'm going to give you a job if I can put this corn cob in your rectum. You want the job, right? But the corn cob, that's the deal breaker. This is what he's pushing. He wants to be Dr. King's success. Everybody knew Dr. King liked women. Okay. Paul know about that fat, greasy preacher. We know about him. We're tired of him. And Jerry Curls played out with Ready for the World when they were selling the albums out the trunk of their car. But I guess that's our new leader because white folks, coons, and the boules say so. Oh, I can't stand these people. You know, I hope these broadcasts are causing mental stress to the boule. You know, in fact, that would be a wonderful endangered species for the boule to start dropping dead, having strokes, heart attacks, suicide. I mean, shoot, they're trying to take us down. I wish they'd go. I wish they were like the, like, you know, the rare Peruvian Andy spotted owl or whatever that's just like 10 left. I'd be so happy if there was just like almost no coons or boule left. There are like 10 of them. And they just pray that you could put them all in a jet ski and they hit a mine in the water, just that we'd be free of them. Anyway, I'm sorry. I just have to get that off my chest. We do not like the boule. We don't like coons. And they are sort of like, do you know what a capo is?
Do I know what a what? Can you spell it?
Capo. It's
like
K-A-P-O.
No,
a capo.
No.
The capos were the Jews. Capos were the boule in the concentration camps that the Germans had for Jews. This is what coons and sellout black people. The capos murdered, beat, brutalized, and robbed Jews to satisfy the Germans. Do you know how they got rewarded in the Warsaw Ghetto? They had all the people line up. They were going to give them a special award. Had them behind the truck, got all the capos lined up. And they pulled the covering off the truck, and it was a machine gun, and they mowed the capos down. That's what coons and boule traitors, that's what they're ultimately going to get for doing this to us. And actually, it's unfortunate. I'm telling you, things would change in our community tomorrow if a person that was known to be a boule or a coon were to be punished in a way. It would scare the rest of them to think twice. It's before your time, but I remember black power and black awareness. And if you were a coon, like you were a coon doctor and you had a practice and you wouldn't help anybody, the Panthers may go in and make you help 10 people a week. That was reciprocity. Look out for the rest of us, right? We don't have anybody now because, oh, you know, he's a doctor. He went to Meharry or he went to Morehouse or he went to Vanderbilt. He went to Hopkins. He's a big doctor. He can't do anything for you because you're not rich enough. We're the only people that allow folks money. Well, actually, us and the people we're just like, that's why I call a lot of black folks blacknecks. They're nothing but rednecks of color. Poor white folk never demand anything from rich white folk. As long as they're not black people, they're happy. And as for black folks who want to be white, they're not happy, but they don't ask rich blacks or rich white folks for anything, but they would like to get it. Now, you mentioned something about nobody standing with black leaders. I agree with Paul. We have a lot of basically highbrow, lowbrow strippers and pimps and clowns and people who are not leaders. That includes in the church too. Holy Ghost, I call it Hollywood, religious entertainers.
are entertainers. They're not religious leaders. I will give you an example where when people do the right thing, people do back up. D.C. had such a person. His name was Marion Barry. That guy, Eric Holder, that Barbadian piece of, you know what I mean. He's from Barbados, not a black American in the sense that you and I are. The U.S. government spent the equivalent of $100 million to bring down Marion Barry. $100 million to get a person that may have had a recreational drug habit that liked sex with women, as if that's the end of the world. Actually, that might be the beginning. Marion Barry, they literally had to change the government of D.C. because the people kept backing him because he backed the folks. You see, we have lots of people who hate black folks' guts who are held up as leaders or people to be admired. People like Oprah Winfrey and others who don't like black people, who have contempt for black people, and they make their success off of stabbing black people in the back and walking over them, like Obama, like people on the Supreme Court and other places. In fact, success for many black people means being a traitor to the larger group. And so the way to success is to be an agent of slow genocide against black people. Kamala Harris, who is not black but was definitely pretending to be one, her claim to fame is keeping black men in jail. Cory Booker's claim to fame is destroying the black machine in Newark. As much as they don't like Shark James or anybody that was there, they never created a system in which black folks could be mass poisoned with lead in the water like Cory Booker did. So he can take his Mr. Clean, bald-headed, effeminate ass on, okay, that he's some hope. People who are put up before us are enemies. Now, Marion Barry had the whole government, and they literally had to take the government of the city away from the people in Washington because Marion Barry, he could run for office dead and he'd win. You see, people like Paul or people like the judge, people who love black people, oftentimes, like what we're saying about these rappers, there are young people doing positive things in the community. They're sisters. There are people who really love their people that do positive stuff. They don't get funded. I know a group called AHEAD. It stands for Adventures in Education, Agriculture, and something else. And these folks throw a circus, a black circus, and they've been raising money for over 30 years doing work in Africa. But it's positive. No money. They can't get any money. I'm a member of a group called the Good Ground, Good Life. You know, Paul, had a group working with 200 young people, and they can't get funding, can't get any money because he's not promoting LGBTQ. There are people doing stuff with almost nothing in our community. They're being starved resources, and they're being starved two times. They're being starved by white society, and they're starved by coons. And black people under a dictatorship of coons, of traitors, of scum. And until we start disliking these people, we're in trouble. Do you get where I'm coming from? But Marion Barry may have had shortcomings, but he looked out for people. You will get your face, your teeth punched out cursing Marion Barry on a public bus right now. That's how much love that man has. Dead. It does too exist, but usually there's not an outpouring of love or concern for one another. And actually, if it is happening, you won't hear about it. So someone like Paul, who has a program that helps people who are coming from jail, they're never going to be in any of the papers. They're not welcome in the churches. I'm not welcome in church. I know folks doing stuff. They're outcast because the Boulay and the other folks have us in a very crazy position,
and the masses of our people are asleep, don't want to wake up or don't want to sacrifice or lose anything. And in reality, the few, Martin Luther King wrote about this, and where do we go from here, chaos or community? He mentions how few black people were involved in the civil rights movement. It's true. Most of the time, black folks are freeloaders. They're fraudsters. I'm saying us as the collective will not help the greater good until they see it successful. We're very faithless people. I'm dealing with the political campaign. We've been out here before anybody, longer than anybody, and it's going to take some white people to give us some money, and then all of a sudden black folks are going to notice us. That's how insane it is. It's like a Jew having to get a French kiss from Hitler to get a handshake from a fellow Jew. That's how stupid we are. And it's a choice when you know better. A lot of people know better. Now, let's take an example. We brought up Bill Cosby. It's no secret that Bill Cosby's family is from Lawrenceville, Virginia, and there's a Short family from Lawrenceville, Virginia, and I'm a Short, meaning Bill Cosby's like a fourth or fifth cousin somehow. Bill Cosby surrounded himself with people who don't like his own family, and he didn't have a lot of use for his own family. Right? Right? He spent money on the white broads that lied, that never sent a postcard to the larger family. This is what successful black people do. You see, part of the reason that you get some of that GD money is to share it. One thing I will say for Juice WRLD, at least he thought enough to bring some weed back to share with others. It's better than what Bill has done for us. I'm not mad at Bill, but God, Bill, you've given millions to white whores. You had the first certified black genealogist in the country that's your cousin, that the woman that helped raise you with your mother begged you to meet and you didn't want to know her. And we could have harnessed the 20, 30, 40, 100,000 or more blood kin. We could rock this whole country. There's a myopia. There's a selfishness. There's a self-centeredness of folks thinking, I've got white folk figured out. White folk love me. I don't need the other black folks. I'm going to make it as an individual. All of them think that. Colin Kaepernick thinks this. All of them do. Until there's a kind of corporate sense that I need my people, all of them, that want to be a people. Those that don't want to be, shoot, let them learn. But there are black folks who rise up. When Dr. King's home was bombed in 1956, the people rose up. There are instances all the time where black folks rise up. You know what normally happens? What they do to the black people who get tired, say, come on, y'all, calm down. Don't act stupid. Let me translate. Don't y'all do anything on my behalf. Don't stand up to the system. It'll work itself out. Just go back to being brain dead. Don't help. Whenever you have a situation where the cops kill someone, you have a blow up, they bring out the same people, the Al Sharptons and the others, to tell the folks, y'all need to be ashamed of yourselves getting upset about police killing children. Y'all ought to be ashamed of yourself, human trafficking. Why are y'all so upset? Well, some of y'all, you stole a pork chop. Well, that's human trafficking to a pig, right? They go in and they insult and make light of black folks who get a very powerful tool called moral indignation. There's not enough of it in black America. There's too little. We've got a deficit of people who get sick and tired and fed up because we're modern-day slaves. A slave is a person that has to take whatever's done to them. That's an enslaved person. A slave is a person that accepts it. We're slaves now. We accept it and go along with it. The person with chains on couldn't do any better. We don't have chains on. We do a hell of a lot worse. So we do have leaders. When Rosa Parks got mugged, the people in Detroit rose up to kill the man that beat her. But people were pleased, brothers, don't hurt. They should have. It would have been a better thing had they killed the dude. That would have said, if you put your hands on an old black woman, you should run to the police station because the community will punish you. In Atlanta, when the black men got tired of their children disappearing, in order to protect the Klan and the others that were killing these children, Maynard Jackson and the others had the police beat up the black men that rose up to defend their community. Little high yellow, anti-dark-skinned black folks, Maynard Jackson of Atlanta. Sister, it happens. But my God, if the people who rise up aren't a certain color or a certain class, they get attacked by whites and by the boule. People do raise up. They do stand up. And normally you won't hear about it in the news. It's not going to get the push. And right about now, I have to keep talking about these people. We're at an absolute point of corruption, whereas someone like myself can personally tell you, when I ask other pastors, be against old black people being murdered for their homes and for their money, and people won't even say, you're right. I sent an email out. I had one minister write me back and say, I'm with you. So killing old black people is okay with certain folks. And see, people like me don't have a platform, because if I had it, I would expose the people. I would get big, I am the Walrus with no touch, TD Jakes. I would clown him every day until he did something.
All right, Dr. Short, let's reel it back just a little bit. Right now, we're going to bring Paul back into the conversation. He was experiencing a few technical difficulties earlier, but I think we got everything all cleared up. Now, this is a part two, and part one was about Juice WRLD, so we're going to touch on that just a little bit so it'll all make sense. And then part three will be you and the judge talking about Oprah Winfrey and Russell Simmons, 50 Cent. I'm hoping to get Pearl Jr. in to talk about Michael Jackson so we can put a nice spin on it. So stay tuned for that. So here's Paul. Let's just jump right back into the conversation.
I would first like to start off with the Juicy boy. Juicy is not one of those type of persons. He come from the South. I'm from Chicago. I live right here in the city, in the belly of the beast. Juicy is from the South Suburbs. He's from the South Suburbs, and he graduated from high school. When he died, when he overdosed on drugs, because that's what happened. He overdosed on drugs. He didn't just die. He overdosed on drugs like a common drug addict in the alley. And I'm not trying to make it pretty, and it's for a reason why. He growed up in the neighborhood, but yet he kept having to feed into, because he had that gift on him. He had that blessing that come from God to be a person with that can use his music and his talent to be somebody. But no door was open to him other than he had to go through a certain doorway and produce a certain type of music. Now, he responsible, because he was a man. He was not 5 or 2 years old. He was a grown man. He takes 5% of his responsibility, which cost him his life. He's responsible for what he's doing in his life. But who created the monster? Where did the monster come from? Why all our children, all of our young people, they can only perpetrate on national TV or any TV, they can only perpetrate as a criminal, as a fraud. I've been to the penitentiary, so I can talk about this. I did 20 years in the penitentiary. I've been to the penitentiary 3 times. I can identify young people who are perpetrating a lie and trying to pretend they something because they are rewarded for that. the Hollywood community rewards them of that. Why? And even when they try to bring in the white children and make them go through the gutter doorway, where they have to do gutter music and always use this profanity, and they don't let them get that big, because they're not trying to have their people trapped in that maze of the red light. Our people is in a bad situation. Like Brother Randy said, even when you're trying to help our people take it the wrong way. They take it that you're a sucker, or that you're weak, or you're lame. All that comes from the system. If our people stop trying to perpetrate a lie, stop trying to be somebody you ain't. When I first went to the penitentiary, all I had to do was listen to the old guys when I first got down there. They told me, you do not have no business in jail. Now, look, after I committed a crime, they said there's a difference between committing a crime and being a criminal. You're not a criminal. You're a person that committed a crime because you wanted some money and you broke the law and you came to jail. That's not a criminal. That's a person that broke the law. You need to get off this treadmill now and get on with your life. Now, it took me 3 times to figure this out. The first time I went to jail, so that's how I can identify myself, people going the wrong way. Something about our people. We always go find something that can destroy us. They may have the loving preacher that loves the people, that serve God, feed the people. Oh, we don't want to go over there. That's might find God over there. We want to go over here to the preacher with the big Cadillac and the super church, you know, like the Eddie Long, Martin Luther King daughter sitting up in there. This got to be the right place. Only to find out, hey, man, these people are perpetrating a lie. All that is the system pointing our people in the wrong direction. Now, I'd like to say this on a different note. This society teaches us, whether it's in grammar school or high school, whether it's in college or on the streets, this society teaches us that first, I'm talking about our people, I'm not talking about these other ethnic groups. They got a different policy for them. But for our people, it teaches us that we ain't nobody. And it makes us think that if we obtain some type of notoriety, or if we attain some type of wealth, that we become somebody. But even after you become wealthy, like a Bill Cosby, even after you do everything right, like Randy said, perpetrate a man, taking care of his family and sending his children to school, they still turn around and find something wrong with Bill Cosby, send him to the penitentiary, and let the white man pay $25 million. Bill Cosby had $25 million. Let the white man spend $25 million, and no black women said nothing. No black women said nothing. I want you to think about what I'm saying. We live in an
You're talking about Harvey Weinstein, right? I just want to make sure the audience.
The same white Jews that hires Lil Juicy to perpetrate this image that he, and I would like to say something else. When the police rushed him, he panicked and swallowed the pills because he panicked. He thought, I got to get rid of all these pills. He panicked because common sense would have told him, even if they take me to jail and I do 3 or 4 years, because I'm supposed to be hardcore gangsters, Juicy, I'll be back out and I'll make some money again. But because he wasn't from that element, he panicked. He didn't know what to do. At the moment of truth, he panicked. And that's what's happening to our people. When Bill Cosby finally looked up and saw that them white folks was really talking about sending him to the penitentiary, really, really, really sending him to the penitentiary, he panicked. He didn't know what to do. He didn't bring the right people around him. He didn't go get a dream team of lawyers. He didn't know what to do because he was just doing his thing with some women that was he was paying that wanted him to do his thing. I ain't saying it's right or wrong because I ain't making no moral judgment about it. I don't make no moral judgment when it comes to our people and we look at the system and how the system put us in a situation to destroy us. So when you look at Juicy, I look at what's happening in our community right here in Chicago. Today, there was a shootout on the west side on Holman and 13th, right on the west side of Chicago. And the perpetrator, the guy that was shooting the gun, was shooting at another guy who had shot at him. That's what they say. I don't know if he did or not before. And shot a little child in it. Shot a little child, a little three-year-old child. And all the police came down there pretending that they were enraged by the shooting, but that wasn't what it was about. It was about coming down there and casting on a image on our people. Casting off the image. Look at how these people shoot the little children. Well, the police just 3 weeks ago in Chicago picked a homeless man up. A black man, and power slammed him on the concrete and put him in the hospital. There was no outrage by the Chicago police then. There was no press conference with the police saying that this outrage was furious and how they did this. So when we talk about our people, we got to be very selective. Do we got contradictions among our people? We certainly do. And you made a point of asking a question. Some people think that they is just trying to get out the ghetto. Well, I think that goes for Barack Obama. When he came to Chicago, he didn't have no money after he went to Harvard and perpetrated a phony education system that he went up there. When he came to Chicago, he met one of the girls in the hood. Because that's where his wife from. His wife has stayed across from the project. Michelle Obama lived right across from the project. She knew Valerie Jarrett. Valerie Jarrett had a hookup at the University of Chicago. Both of them had degrees. But that don't mean nothing. Black folks got degrees and unemployed. When they went to the University of Chicago, they gave them a plan to get rid of black folks out of Chicago. And he got into politics, which is another criminal organization in the city of Chicago. And when he got in Chicago, got into politics, he bought a house from a criminal that went to the federal penitentiary. No different than he bought it from a drug dealer or another gangster. And we talk about the president of the United States. I'm giving you a little history of him. With that, I got to get mine, you got to get yours. Then when he finally got in the White House, Mr. I got to get mine, you got to get yours. But he told us, I'm gonna look out for the people. I'm the new black savior. All of your young people look at him. This young boy that died, him too. When he seen that the president of the United States, a black man, only cared about what he was going to get up out of it, he set the tone for all your young people seeing that. Everybody ain't trying to perpetrate that. But he did have an effect on some of our people to make them think the exact same way with him. So if you want to blame somebody, yeah, I put some blame on the young man. I put 5%. He made a mistake and tossed him dead. 5%. But I put 95% on them Negro leaders that all y'all, if somebody listen to me, y'all hold all them high. Whether it be the J.C.'s, who ain't never done nothing for nobody in Marcy Projects, whether it be Barack Obama, who right now is trying to gentrify us out of Chicago, whether it be Tom Lewis in down south, messing over black folks down south, whether it be the man that just died in Philadelphia or the one that just died in Detroit a city all messed up, I blame them for why the little boy dead. Because he was looking at them, and all they was about, I got to get mine, and you got to get yours. That's who put that image out there. These are the victims of black leadership, of deserted, abandoned black leadership who have stepped on our people and climbed the ladder of white success. And white folks love them. And a lot of our people adore them, even though they spit in their face. A lot of our people love them. So we're living in some bad times. But we can't distinguish between an enemy and a friend. I want to leave on this last note. What you see was happening to little young boy is an attack on our young people's minds. His mind wasn't even strong enough. Just think about what I'm saying. This young man's mind wasn't even strong enough. Just common sense. They took all his common sense from him. His common sense mind wasn't even strong enough to tell him, hey, I'm just going to go on to jail, try to bond out. He thought that if he took them drugs, he was going to live because he didn't have no more common sense. He had lost it all, just like him being dead. Now, they're going to have a funeral. People are going to go to his funeral and exploit it. They're going to exploit his funeral. I'm telling you that right now. They're going to come there. They're going to talk to all the tabloids and everybody and exploit him. They're going to use him. He's dead now. And whoever has signed him, they finna go get all the records that nobody ever heard. And people digging up his videos, then export them, and they're gonna suck all the air out the room. His mama and his, if he got some children, they probably ain't gonna get nothing about it. Because that's a part of the way that game goes. Black folks need to separate themselves from Americanism and find their way to the great God I am.
All right, guys, that wraps part two. Please stay tuned for part three featuring Jesha Brown, Dr. Randy Short. And if we talk about Michael Jackson, then Pearl Jr. will chime in. Right now, you're listening to the voice of Valerie Denise Jones. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me. RIP and a big shout out to Juice WRLD. My condolences to his fans and his family. My thoughts and prayers are with you guys. God bless you so much. And if there's anybody who's listening to my voice, anybody down in the comments section, if you're grieving, please note that I'm definitely holding you in my heart because I know that Juice WRLD's death is a great loss to the world and he will be missed by so many people. Right now, I'm going to toss it back to Dr. Randy Short because he has a message for you guys, actually a petition. And then we're going to end this audio clip with a message from today's sponsor. I'll see you guys down in the comments section, and please do not forget to subscribe. Thanks.
Hello, brothers and sisters, jazz lovers all over the world. This is Dr. Randy Short. And I'm reaching out to you on behalf of Kameh Calloway, the oldest daughter of Cab Calloway, who's 92 years old, and Celia Calloway, who's 72 years old. We're trying to save the house that Cab and Blanche Calloway, Cab Calloway, famous for the hidey, 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 ho, hey, Minnie the Moocher, the first gold and platinum selling record in the history of blacks and recorded sound in 1931. The house is located in Baltimore's famous Druitt Hill Avenue off of the Pennsylvania Avenue corridor. That is the equivalent of Harlem's 125th Street or Washington, D.C.'s U Street. And the house is at 2216 Druitt Hill Avenue. There is a conspiracy by greedy, gentrifying, sellout coons, coonettes, blacknecks, negroidians, nigglings, whatever you want to call them, here in Baltimore that want to sell out the community, want to give the property or sell it to gentrifying forces and destroy the memory of Cab Calloway, who is the father of rap, hip-hop, blues, all of that. That's what he is. So we need your support. If you know celebrities or famous people, whatever, we'd like for you to either sign our petition, which is on change.org, there are two. Just put Cab Calloway's name in. There are two petitions. One that says, call on CHAP to save the home of Cab Calloway. Another one's calling on the mayor of Baltimore. If you want further information, you can write me at wrandyshort@gmail.com. And as well, one of the grandsons, his name is Peter Brooks. Peter Brooks, he's on Facebook. He's the grandson of Cab Calloway. We're all working very hard to preserve a legacy. I repeat, there's a conspiracy. They're claiming that they need to destroy the house in order to build a park in the honor of Cab Calloway. It's not true. They don't have the consent of the family. And the same way they're trying to steal Prince's masters and steal Michael Jackson's money and steal everybody else, Whitney Houston's money, or their masters or their music or their legacy, they're trying to do this to Cab Calloway. This is a battle that we can win. We've been able to challenge the city to hold off of this, destroying the property, which is the aim of the folks who hate the Cab Calloway family and hate his legacy. We need your help. I repeat, Cab Calloway, long before there was a Superfly with nice clothes, there was a Cab Calloway, a hipster. You get hep, or should say hip, comes from the word hep. Hep is a term that Cab Calloway took all over the world. So when you hear a hip, hip, a hippity hop for Sugar Hill, they're tilting their hats to Cab Calloway. Help us out. Save a legacy. You and I can make certain that the hidey, hidey hole never goes away. God bless you, keep you, be strong. And by the way, do it before Christmas because that's Cab Calloway's birthday. I'm Dr. Randy Short. I stand by my message.
Today's live broadcast was sponsored by MyOliveLeaf.biz. MyOliveLeaf.biz.
Hey guys, this is Valerie Denise Jones. Happy holidays to you. I wish you nothing except happiness, good health, and prosperity. Please, please, please go out of your way. Don't let nothing get you down, especially not health issues. No health issues like high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetic blood sugar, eczema, none of that. X it all out. And if you need help or got questions concerning any of the issues I just mentioned, please visit myoliveleaf.biz. Again, myoliveleaf.biz. And if you want to talk to somebody, please call 612-567-3263. 612-567-3263. The guys over there at Team Olive Leaf will definitely be happy to assist you. Again, happy holidays. I love you guys to life. Talk soon.